Shall we turn to Hebrews 11? I'll read from verse 1 to verse 19. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it ye elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Amen. May the Lord bless that reading of his word. Well, let's look at some things in that passage. We're not continuing exactly from last Wednesday, but a kind of review of the four characters we've mentioned so far: Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham. And as we have been looking at these characters, I've been impressed myself, you know, with the consideration of these men, and how they trusted God, and the very dawn of history, and there they looked to God and trusted God, and just the reality of their lives, even though in the beginning of this world, more or less, and yet we see these men living out lives, and the details are so wonderful for us to observe, even though it was a long time ago. And what I would like to do is just to pick out more or less one feature of each man and see a picture in these four men of Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham. And starting with Abel, you could pick many aspects of these men, but to me, just the simple Christian testimony of this man. A clean man, he comes over. I know some of this is reading in between the lines perhaps, but a clean man and a simple soul, a ordinary Christian man in many ways, even though it was before the birth of Christ, of course. And the two things we know in the main, he worked and he worshipped. It's pretty well lit, isn't it? He worked as a shepherd and he worshipped God. And that's not a bad twosome, really, to work and to worship, to do our work well. The Lord made us to work. It's a very difficult thing not to work. If you're healthy and able, it's a real trial not to work. We are made to work, and it's part of our humanity. And this man worked. He worked well, it would seem. But also, he worshipped God. And we notice his true worship. It's remarkable, really, that this man, you know, right back, you know, the son of Adam and Eve, and it's so clear that Christ is pictured in his worship. He came to God in worship through Christ. And, you know, the way he came is so poignant, so significant. The firstlings of the flock, the fat thereof, the best thereof. And it all points to Christ, who was the Lamb of God. And God accepting the sacrifice, probably by fire. And here we see a gospel picture, right at the beginning, the dawn of history. Indeed, there is one before, with Adam and Eve as well. But this one we note here in Hebrews. And here we see a man who trusted in Christ, believed in God, and he worked, and he worshipped God. I know we long for great experiences of God. Now, this doesn't exclude that, but we shouldn't dismiss this simple lesson to live a simple life, a Christian life. It's a good thing. It's not to say we don't want extraordinary experiences of God, but it's on the back of the lovely, ordinary Christian living, the good Christian living, and that we should not be dissatisfied with this regular work of the Holy Spirit. There is the extraordinary, and God draws near, fills our heart, moves within us, takes us to the heavens. There is that too, and I'm sure Abel knew something of that. But what he leaves behind, really, is this lovely, simple testimony. And we should be satisfied with living before God, working our livelihood and worshipping on the Lord's Day. It's a lovely picture. Working 6 days and worshipping God on the Sabbath. Well, that's Abel. And that's a good beginning as we think of the testimony of these men. And then Enoch, of course, we don't know much about him. We don't know much about Abel, really, but we know even less about Enoch, except that he walked with God. We also know from the book of Jude, he was a preacher. The epistle of Jude, he was a preacher, as Noah was a preacher too. But the thing that stands out, as with Abel, a simple Christian life, lovely. But with Enoch, he walked with God. And it is his nearness to God which stands out. And the language, you know, seems to suggest something of the heavenly nature of walking with God. What does walking with God speak to you of? Well, really, first and foremost, nearness, isn't it? You're walking next to God. And that's another striking testimony here at the dawn of history. This man walked with God, and he was near the Lord. He communed with God, and no doubt in many other ways was near God. For us today, I suppose, For us to apply this, how do we walk with God? Well, the Word of God, that is always there in our hands, is near us. Prayer brings us near to God. Obedience, of course, obedience. And in these ways, we walk with God, obey Him, pray. Prayer takes us very near, and the Word of God. And in that, God will draw near. Reminded of my father's words once to me, coming out of the pastor's room, very simple, very effective. Look up and he will come down. Just simple expression, look up and he will come down. And to walk with God. With Enoch, it just seems that he was so near the Lord, is as if his leaving of this world was seamless. He was walking with God. The next thing, he is with God in glory. And it is a testimony again of the heavenly nature. He was so heavenly, he ended up in heaven. And there we have Enoch. You know, Scripture is full of these wonderful little characters that speak a message to us. So many, aren't there? So many characters that speak to us, and Abel does, and so does Enoch. Tells us an aspect of the Christian life, the wonderful Christian life. And then Noah, and with Noah, he stood out in his time. He stood in a wicked world. In some ways, you could say he was lonely, because the world was so wicked. I'm sure his family would have been a comfort to him, but not much is said about that. But Noah himself seems to be a lonely man, but he also walked with God. And he shows remarkable resourcefulness, I would say. Faithfulness and resourcefulness, as we shall see with Abraham too. But here we see somebody who believed, who was resourceful, who stood in a wicked world, a very wicked world. That's the thing that stands out with Noah. Wickedness, so much so that God repented of making the world and making man. Yet Noah, in this wicked, wicked environment, stood, and he speaks to us too. Don't go the same way as the world. Show your love to the Lord. Do you love the Lord? And show it. Walk with God. Stand in a wicked world. Be content with that. Don't be swayed by the world. Just be godly. And we have already a lovely picture. Simple Christianity, straightforward Christianity, then the heavenly, the extraordinary with Enoch, and here standing in a wicked world with this man Noah. And do you ever try and imagine what kind of people they were? What kind of picture in your mind? I suppose I have a picture of Enoch, and I have a picture of Abel. I have a picture of Noah as well. And probably they didn't look anything like that, but in my mind I have a picture of them, you know, with the features and the kind of characters they were. And Abraham too. Now Abraham, it says in Romans 4, he staggered not. Now that suggests something, that he had many obstacles, and he could have staggered, and he could have stumbled. And there was so much in the life of Abraham. He passed through many places, many different seasons of life, and yet he believed through it all. And that's what stands out here, his belief, the depth of his belief. And of course it was tested in a particular way. But even before we come to that, the way that Abraham just believed, and there he was from the Ur of the Chaldees up to Haran, then to Canaan, then to Egypt, the wars, the many internal struggles, family issues with Lot, and also of course with Sarah and Hagar, and then with Ishmael and so on, and then the birth of Isaac, and then the great test. And he showed that his belief in God, and just think what was going on in his heart, his belief in God was greater than his son, the love of his son. He was stronger than his only begotten and beloved son. and that seemingly immovable faith he had, belief in God, he believed in God. It was something very deep in Abraham. And Abraham is an example to us to believe in God's attributes, who he is. And of course, there's nothing irrational about it. It's truth, isn't it? He believed in the great attributes of God. It was not foolishness. It was sanity. It's because of our fears and because of us wanting to hold on to the world and our lack of belief in God that we might struggle. But Abraham, not so. Abraham had an understanding of the being of God and who he was, what he was able to do, and his faithfulness. And what a great picture he gives to us. So all in all, we have here a pattern for our Christian lives, a simple Christian life. The lovely, ordinary aspects of the Christian life, day to day, obeying God, working, doing a job, working and worshipping God through Jesus Christ. And then Enoch, those moments of heavenly communion, the nearness of God and walking with the Lord in great nearness. And then Noah, just standing his ground in a wicked time. And then Abraham, believing with a depth in the goodness of God. Well, it would be good if we could be at least one of those, if not all four. To have a lovely, straightforward Christianity, a wonderful nearness with God, standing in a wicked day, and belief in the Almighty God. Well, let's pray that we might learn from these men so far in Hebrews. We've got more to come, of course. And what a chapter it is. You know, when you come to the end, and there is the list of the unnumbered, the many ordinary people of God who love God and who are faithful. May we be one of those. You know, that list at the end is open-ended, isn't it? May we be in that list at the end. May we be one of God's people. We shall join these people, let's not forget. We shall be in their company, as well as in the company of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But these people, we shall join their ranks. Well, through Christ we belong. Trust also through our testimony as well. Well, shall we sing?